I've got to preach fast and to the point. Acts chapter 2, it's the only verse I preach from. I tried it from somewhere else, it didn't work. So it says in the second chapter of Acts, how many love the Holy Ghost? I feel like we're getting a little more Pentecostal again. For a little while, I feel like we're all pretty cool. And then COVID hit and we realized we need the Holy Ghost. And everyone, we've gotten spiritual, we've gotten fired up, and we need the fire of God in our churches. Otherwise, they're boring. There's nothing worse than a dead Pentecostal church. You need fire. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing worse than a grumpy Pentecostal. You know, those kind. Let's be happy, spirit-filled believers full of the power of God. Acts chapter 2, and I'm reading from the New King James, which is the translation the Apostle Paul used. In fact, this was his Bible. I bought it at an auction in Geraldton. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's the whole house. Some poor guy was in the bathroom minding his own business. He did not know what hit him. Imagine you're in the bathroom, your head catches fire. It's poor guy. But it changed his life. He's now a preacher. Came a sound from heaven. So, Father, I need your help. Sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. There's a tongue for every person. It's not for some. Every believer needs the power of God. And they're all filled. Somebody say all filled. That was every last one of them. They're all filled. That is the biblical standard for us as pastors, for our people, is that everyone in our church should name the name of Jesus and be filled with the Spirit of God, carry an anointing. Man, we need the power of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Any tongue talkers in the house? Just on a side note, when we get up on Sunday, let's not be TED talkers, let's be tongue talkers. Let's carry the power of God. He says, began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them the utterance, the ability. That was the moment when the Holy Spirit fell and the early church was established. We are called Pentecostals. So we are part of a movement called the Australian Christian Churches, a name I love. How many grew up AOG? Do we have it? You know what it stands for? Australian Oil and Gas. So I grew up AOG, and I was told we were Pentecostal. But I figured I was Pentecostal because I went to an AOG church, so I must be Pentecostal. But that's not what makes us Pentecostal. We're Pentecostals because we believe that what happened on the day of Pentecost is available to us here and right now. And so the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, so we're called Pentecostals because we believe that what he did, he's continuing to do. We're continuationists. We believe in the continuing work of Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're Pentecostals because we believe what happened on the day of Pentecost started everything, is available today, and we need what happened on the day of Pentecost. If the Holy Spirit fell on Christmas, we'd be Christmacostals. But we're Pentecostals. Do I have any Pentecostal brothers and sisters in the house? And so, here's the thing. The early church was Pentecostal. Let's go to the first church service. So if we're going to, we try to build our churches on the pattern of Scripture. So the first church service was in an upper room. And the first thing that happened is the fire of God fell. They spoke in tongues. They were mobilized into evangelism, got results, saw miracles. And the thing was alive, man. This church was birthed in the power of God. How many believe? I don't believe that Jesus is coming back for a church less powerful than the one that he left. I'm believing the one he's coming back for is going to... He started this thing with power. I think we've got to continue the thing with power. And so when he comes back, I don't think he's coming back for some kind of, let's dial it back. He's coming back for something that's got a bit of oil in its lamp, you know. And here's the thing I guess I want to try and say. The early church was Pentecostal. So If you're in the early church, say you joined Jerusalem. I don't know what it's called. I think it was called Jerusalem Christian Center. And Jerusalem AOG, actually, I found out. If you joined that church, if that was your first church, and you decided, you know what, I'm just a bit chilled. Maybe you got a bit apathetic. You're like, I need something a bit more chill. Need some deeper teaching. Which, that's what a lot of people say before they backslide. But I love pastors' conferences. You can get stuff off your chest. You know, you can, all the things you want to say on Sunday, you can just say here. This job's hard. So the early church started. It is mischievous here. I've got to tell you, you've been in this for 3 days. I've just jumped in from school holidays. I'm just happy to be here. And if you didn't like it, you couldn't go, you know what, I'm done. I need something more chill. Well, there wasn't one. And if you thought, well, I'm going to leave town, I moved to Corinth. Well, they were worse. Paul's going, you're speaking in tongues too much. I speak in tongues more than all of you, but dial it down. You're yelling over there in tongues. You're fighting in tongues. So that's a bit of a ramp. Well, you could leave there and go to Ephesus. Well, they weren't any better. You had Timothy who was, you know, walking through some stuff. But Paul would say to him, stir up the gift that's in you. And he'd preach to the Ephesian church, be filled with the Spirit. And they're like, we already were. He says, exactly, stay filled with the Spirit. So you're talking about a church that wasn't just Spirit-filled, but more Spirit-filled and continually Spirit-filled. And getting to a point where they don't drink wine, but they get filled with the Spirit and enjoy the Holy Spirit. Man, the early church, if that wasn't enough, then you had the Word of Faith people over in Philippi. They were taking offerings for everything. They had nothing. But they're the most generous people in the world. They're the prosperity people. So you go to that church. If you were looking for something religious, dead, boring, and dry, there wasn't one. And you know something? I would suggest that in this room, neither should any of ours be as well. Our churches should be alive with the power of God. You might be here today going, my church is boring. Can I encourage you? If you get a bit of life behind the pulpit, we might get some fire in the pew. We need it. Pastors, when you get up on Sunday, square your shoulders and get up there knowing that you're anointed by God, that you carry the power of God, that the greater one's on the inside of you. Woo, man, my right leg's about to go. I'm believing God. Some of you got touched this week. You're going to go home and you're going to stand in front of a different church on Sunday. Because a fight. Some of you want to quit. You're going home to a move of God. You're going home to a fresh anointing. You're going home to breakthrough. You're going home to new people. You're going home to full altars and miracles and breakthroughs. Because one touch of Pentecost, one touch. Oh, man. The early church was Pentecostal. People think we're this modern fringe. We're not. The church drifted from the early days, and what we're doing is our best feeble attempt to walk in what we see here. You receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. In my name, you'll cast out demons. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll take up serpents and drink deadly things. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want that to be what we're walking in. And Pentecostals are not, it's not a denomination. It's not a style. It's not even a doctrinal position. It's a fire from heaven. That when that fire gets on the church, man. I'm so grateful that we got a national president that has championed this for years, man, that believes this stuff. I'm believing God that just if just a bit of what's on Pastor Joel can get on our nation, we can have a fresh move of God. I've got quite high hopes, no pressure. But if you could usher an end time revival, we'd appreciate that. Can I just jump straight into this message? I want to give you three things. If I have time, four things. If I stand here, I can do six. I feel like that number's getting less and less every time I look at it. I want to give you three things that we believe as Pentecostals that I think are important. And we're going to have fun today. How many have been in this a long time? Yeah, see. And there was a bit of pride when you put your hand up. I'm one of you. When I was six, my friends got Lego for their birthday. They got G.I. Joe. But my dad, who was a pastor here in Perth once, he was actually the vice president once, at one point, Tim Hall, he didn't buy me G.I. Joe or Lego. He bought me an overhead projector. That is what I got for my sixth birthday. So I would get the overhead projector out, and he bought me a screen on three legs. Do you remember those things? I'd set the screen up, shine the words onto the screen, and then we'd have church. I'd lead my teddy bears in worship, lay hands on them, they'd fall under the power of God, except for one. He was Presbyterian. You know what's sad about this? This is true. This all happened. I used to give Big Ted communion. He had stains around his mouth. I used to lead him in singing. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with prayer. We bring the sacrifice of praise. See, that's when worship was anointed. I grew up in this. I'm born into what we're a part of. I've been in it 44 years. And I love our fellowship. I love what we're a part of. But I still think sometimes as generations come through, I think there's a few things we need to know what we believe. And I've got three for you today, if that's all right. The first thing that true Pentecostals, I'm not talking about cultural Pentecost, I'm talking about experientially, us spirit-empowered, whether you're charismatic, I'm talking about the whole thing. Here's a few things we believe. Number one, we believe all of the Bible. We believe everything. Look, I don't want a great amen, but I hope you agree. If not, we'll have a meeting afterwards and just discuss a few of the differences. Bless you. But I believe everything in this. I believe it from cover to cover. I believe in the Book of Maps. It's a favorite. In fact, some of the maps are great. You can learn how to get from Troas to Mount Hebron. But I love the Word of God. This is Jesus in a leather jacket. This thing's alive. This thing's alive. You know, it's got a pulse, you know. What is Timothy? That's my faith offering slip. That may or may not have credit card details on it. Pastor Ken's already tried to scoop it up to pay off this one. And you can have it. Those $200 are going to impact your church greatly. I believe that. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Spirit, by the breath of God. We know the scripture. I won't spend 2 Timothy, but here's the point that I want to make. Often when we talk about biblical typology, we talk about water, and we say water describes the Holy Spirit, but it also describes a word. And I sort of wondered why fire doesn't describe the Bible, the dove doesn't describe the Bible, but water is a picture for both. We wash ourselves in the water of the Word, or out of your innermost being will flow a river of living water. Why? Because the two should never, ever be separate from one another. We shouldn't be in love with theology. We should be in love with God and love His Word, but we should love the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes we can sort of be Spirit people or Word people, but they should never be divided, because the one who touches you is the one who wrote the Word. When you read the Word, it's alive. Those words sit on the page just looking at you, ready to be jumping into your spirit. And you read that thing, it fills your spirit. And as you're reading it, you're in the company of the guy who of the one who wrote it, the God who wrote it. And he whispers to your spirit. It's called revelation. And we believe the whole Bible. We don't believe that it just contains truth. We believe that it is truth. It's breathed by God, and the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God lasts forever. The psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven." I'm so grateful that I know God through His Word. I've had people say to me, "We got to look at the Bible through a 2025 lens." I'll come straight back and say, "Oh no, we don't. We got to look at 2025 through a Bible lens, and it's our authority." I believe the whole thing. I believe in a literal Jonah. Oh, that's just metaphorical. No. Oh, but surely you don't really believe that he was disobeying God, going to Tarshish instead of Nineveh, and, and a fish gobbled him up and brought him to Nineveh. And what an entrance. I mean, if we're out over at, I don't know, what's your beach here? Coral's Low. And some whale came up and Pastor Ken Lee came out and preached. I'd listen. I'd want to hear what the man of God had to say. I don't think anything gives you authority more than being delivered to church in a fish. We were so moved by it, we stuck them on our cars for a few decades. But right there, people go, oh, that's just a metaphor. No, it's not. Well, how does that work? Well, the Bible says the Lord prepared a great fish. I've got a friend who customizes Mitsubishi Sigmas. If you can customize a Mitsubishi Sigma, God can customize a fish. To get a rebellious evangelist to Nineveh, 120,000 saved in one day. God will do whatever he needs to do to get somebody born again. I'll tell you, he'll move hell and high water. He'll create a custom fish. I believe that Moses led the people through the dry waters. I believe that David took out Goliath. I believe that Jericho walls came down. We believe the whole thing. The thing's alive. It works. It still works today, man. We got to get it in our spirit, preach it, and let it come out of... Man, let the word of God be true and let every man be a liar. Woo! Ha-ha! Oh, man, some people go, I'm going to have my quiet time. How do you have your quiet time? I try and have quiet time. But it's not that quiet. How can you have quiet time? And King Nebuchadnezzar said, how many people did we put in the fiery furnace? We put in three. Well, I see four. One of them looks like the Son of God. How do you sit back and go, great, I'll soap that. I can't soap that. How do you soap that? I need to get up there and have a praise break and go... He's the fourth man. Who is this fourth man? This thing's alive. Preach it when you get up there. This thing's alive. Preach it with a little bit of oomph. Preach it like you're still excited about it. Preach it like it's still moving your spirit. Even if you get some help from our good mate at Alpha Crucis by the name of ChatGPT. A lot of you have improved lately. It's great. I can never be accused of stealing my messages from ChatGPT, but I can be accused of taking photos of a lot of you and turning you into Muppets. And I'll wear that accusation and I will continue to do it. Number two. Number two. Pentecostals. Do we have any Pentecostals that believe the Bible? Do you still think? Man, how can you have... Shadrach, Meshach, Elijah, Elisha, Elisha's bones. How can you? Aren't we lucky to have blessed? Not lucky, that's a little bit sacrilegious. Aren't we blessed to have this word in our laps, on our phones, in our iPods, on our fridges? Magnets. Number two. Is this what you were hoping for, Pastor Christy? This is the only way I know how to do it. I'm looking forward to doing your marriage seminar later in the year. You're going to have some very confused families. Number two, Pentecostals. Are we still Pentecostal or have some of you reconsidered it? Since once you've been touched by the fire of God, you can't reconsider anything, by the way. But number two, Pentecostals believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Does anyone here believe in the power of the Holy Ghost? I'm so Pentecostal these days, I won't even eat pizza unless it's delivered. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if I get bitten by a mozzie, that thing starts speaking in tongues, man. I'm really having a great time, by the way. I hope you are, but I'm really personally getting a lot out of this. We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe in the anointing. We believe in all of it. You know, it's Bible. Some people are word people. Some people are spirit people. But this Bible, every New Testament author was Pentecostal. Can I just show you something in the Word? Can you go with me to the first book of the Bible for 1 minute? Let's turn there. You think you're going to Genesis. I want you to go one before that. Table of contents. Turn to the table of contents. That's not a joke. If your table of contents has a book called Maccabees, you've got the wrong one. You need it. I've got 39, I'm 41 seconds over time. I feel like I wasn't given much preaching time, but I'll submit. The keyboard player can come in 10 minutes time. No, I'm nearly done. It's going well. I thought to myself, I'm going to do really well with national presidents here. I'm going to have it all under control. Let me give you a few authors of New Testament books. Matthew wrote the book of Matthew. He was in the upper room. What happened in the upper room? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Mark, in Mark 16, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll speak in tongues. Mark was in the upper room. He journeyed with Paul and Barnabas. What about Luke? He was the eyewitness. He was there, took it all in. Gave us the book of Acts, gave us the book of Luke. What about John? Well, John was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. He spoke in tongues. What about Acts written by Luke? Well, we've covered that. Then Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thess, 2 Thess, 1 Tim, 2 Tim, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, all written by Paul. Or if we want to sound really smart at church, we all say the writer of Hebrews, but we all know who it was. You know, the writer of Hebrews. That was Paul. And if it wasn't, I don't have time to learn. And then you've got James. He got saved, half-brother of Jesus. Now, that would have been a tough gig. Something gets broken in the house. He automatically gets a hiding. Why? Because Jesus wouldn't have done it. He didn't get saved until after Jesus ascended, but he got saved between the cross and Pentecost. He was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Then where are we? We've got 1st, 2nd Peter written by Peter. Well, Peter was there in the upper room. He preached Pentecost. I didn't talk about Paul. I'll come back to Paul. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, same John as before. In the upper room, Jude, he was in the upper room. He says in verse 20. Now, he doesn't get Jude chapter 1. Didn't quite get to more than one chapter, but he got in. And it's an accomplishment. And he says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. And then John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he fell under the power on the Isle of Patmos, and God gave him revelation. Well, Paul, he wrote 2/3 of it. He wasn't in the upper room. But a light shone from heaven, knocked him to the ground. He gets back up, goes and sees a guy called Ananias. Ananias lays his hands on him, gets healed, gets baptized in the Spirit. Paul writes, I wish you all spoke in tongues. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Every New Testament writer spoke in tongues. If that's not enough, Pastor Joel, do you know who else was in the upper room? People get awkward when I talk about this, but I just want to mention it because it's quite an exciting idea. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Read Acts 1, she was there. If Mary was a pastor, she'd be ACC. And you say, how do you know? She's Pentecostal. I honor the Catholics. Mary wasn't Catholic. Mary was Pentecostal. Mary spoke in tongues. She was in the upper room. I mean, she'd go to the Catholics because they're pretty honoring, but Mary's Pentecostal. You can't light a candle to Mary. Her head's already on fire. It's just, what are you going to do? Mary, man, she carried something. She waved at Elizabeth, and John the Baptist was in her womb. She waved at Mary, at Elizabeth. John the Baptist, you know you carry an anointing when if you wave and a Baptist baby falls under the power in somebody else's womb, man. That's a serious measure of anointing, but you might be here going, oh yeah, but that's because she carried Jesus. Guess what? So do you and I, man. We carry Jesus. We carry Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. We carry his anointing. I'm nearly done. Another one. I'll give you one more point and then I'm done. Keyboard player's done. She's finished her cigarette. She's back here. Sorry. That was too far. Sorry, guys. Pentecostals believe in miracles. You know, let me just say this. Can I just have a minute? I'm struggling to preach today. I've been doing this a long time, but it's not wondering what to preach. It's now wondering how to preach. You get into an atmosphere of faith. I'm having to catch up. You're all spiritual. I'm like this heathen that just walked in from South Australia, ready to go, hoping for the best. And then you walk in and, man, I'm a bit undone by the presence of God in here. When they started worshiping, you could sense his glory and sense his anointing. And so I'm getting touched here today. I'm trying to preach and bless you, but you're blessing me. But the Pentecostals, we believe in miracles. Jesus said you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What does that mean, power? It's supernatural ability to do miracles. And here's the thing. This is where faith kicks in. We all believe here that God can heal. We all believe that. Let's take it another direction. We believe God can bless. We can believe that God wants to prosper our churches. We believe that God can do all those things. But faith shifts from God can. Faith says he will. I think some of us are here and we've been trying to appeal to the reluctance of God. And God's saying, lay a hold on my willingness. Because I'm willing to heal and set free. We believe in this stuff. We believe it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I was a little boy, I went with my dad to his preach in Houston, Texas, for a guy called Reginald Klimenok, who built Garden City Christian Church. It's now Hillsong Brisbane. And Dad was preaching in the church. And I remember it was a midweek meeting, crusade. We don't call them crusades anymore because it's aggressive. But basically, crusades... Crusades are what we used to call conferences when we could only afford one speaker, so they had to do six straight. So it was a crusade. So we still do them, but we just break it up a bit because our concentration span can't handle the same person the whole time. So my dad's preaching. It's like the end of the crusade, and he's doing the salvation call, and this woman comes down the front, and she starts dancing. And we all know the rules. The salvation call happens. You might be taken up into the third heaven, but you have to come back and behave yourself. For the salvation altar call, you could have the joy, you could have it, but salvation call, we all get it together. It's true. Like we settle, we try not to go to the bathroom, we bind our bladder, and we just wait for that to happen. And I grew up that way. The minute the salvation call happens, Christians pray in tongues, they believe in God. And so Dad's trying to do the salvation altar call, and this woman comes up, and she starts dancing at the front. And he says, sister, would you just sit down for a minute? You can praise God in a minute. We're going to do a salvation call, and then you can worship the Lord. She said, no! And he said, ma'am, can you please sit down? She goes, no. He says, sister, sit down. This is in Houston, Texas. She goes, no. I've been sitting in that wheelchair paralyzed for 24 years. And Dad says, please continue. And I kid you not, 12-year-old eyes. I was in that meeting at the age of 12. And this woman comes running from the other side. Something about her faith touched her. She goes, I've been in an accident. I was in my wheelchair for 11 years. They both got healed. The salvation altar call was packed. Because he does miracles. I'm going to close with this and then we're going to pray for people. But we call him the great physician. It's because he specializes in every area of medicine. Turns water into wine. It's medical research. He healed the nobleman's son, pediatrician. He heals many sick and oppressed at evening, a GP locum. He cleansed a man with leprosy, dermatologist. He heals a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum, telehealth. He heals a paralyzed man who was let down from the roof, podiatrist. He heals a man's withered hand on the Sabbath, orthopedic hand surgeon. Heals a woman with the issue of blood, hematologist. He heals two blind men, ophthalmologist. Heals a man who is unable to speak, otolaryngologist. He heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath, nephrologist. He heals 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem, infectious disease specialist. My personal favorite, he heals a servant's severed ear while he's being arrested. That would be plastic surgery. There's nothing he can't do. He can do it all. You know, I feel like my job is to just minister and stir your hunger and joy again for the things of God. We need the Spirit of God in our churches. You might be a 5 out of 10 preacher. And I'm not saying that to be smart, but like just average. You know, average with an anointing? Some people are trying every online course to lift their gift, or I'll go to this seminar, or just you'd be amazed at the heavy lifting the anointing can do. You get a worship leader. It might be just one dude on a guitar. You get an anointing on him. It'll touch the hardest heart. And I just wonder today, I just feel like God wants to pour out a fresh anointing. In the, oh, bless the Lord, I nearly died there. Just where you're sitting, just lift your hands and have a drink today. It's happy hour at Nations right now. And the bill's been paid, it's been paid by Jesus. So have it, it's on the house. Just enjoy the Holy Spirit today. There's a fresh anointing. There's a fresh wind. There's a fresh touch. There's a fresh empowering of the Spirit of God. If you're hungry, I encourage the next generation of leaders to be hungry. Because us oldies, we've been in this long enough. We know how to respond to God, but we've got to teach the next generation to respond to God. Because if we don't, our sons and daughters won't. The Bible says Stephen, he said to those that were going to stone him, he said, you're uncircumcised of heart. You always resist the Holy Spirit just as your fathers did. And the fathers, we've got to be tender to the Spirit of God. Otherwise, our sons won't know how to receive. And that, put yourself in any position. If you're a youth pastor, be responsive to the anointing. If you're a senior pastor, be responsive to the anointing. If you're in any area of ministry, be responsive. So through your ministry, there's an openness that you model to people around and about you. I never want to be quench the fire ministries. I want to be stoke the fire, run with fire, fan into flame. And Lord, we just ask you to come today for this impartation session. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Move in this room. We're so hungry. We're believing that something's going to happen in this place. In the name of Jesus. By your anointing. By your Spirit. I know you're all sitting, and I'm kind of wondering why. I think we should stand so we can have an altar call in a minute. Lift your hands to him. What key are you in? D, what song would you have done if I hadn't tried to suggest one?
Upper Room.
Do you know this song? I'm going to try my best. Do you know? Da, 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 da. And the angels cry.
Yep, we could.
Holy, all creation cries.
Holy.
Here we go.
You were lifted high.
Shabbat.
Holy forever.
Hear your people sing.
Jesus.
Holy. To the King of Kings.
To the King of Kings.
Shabbat. Anointed you for it, and I'm just believing, sure, there's skills and natural talents, but I believe God's going to give you an anointing for this, and I believe you're going to do this in peacetime, in a time of blessing, in a time of the blessing of God. And I just feel like God just wants to pour out a touch of God for this, an authority for this. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, as he steps into a national role, Lord, I pray that he'd do so with a mighty anointing on him. Come on, somebody, praise him. This young lady, you're doing this. Come here, stand right there. Raise your hands to God. What's your name? Where are you from, Chloe? Nations Belmont. Do you know Pastor Ken Lee? He's a close personal friend. Lift your hands to heaven. As you do, the fire of God fills you right now in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's press in. We're going to have church right now. Let's just... This guy with a hat, brother hat, just come stand right here. What's your name? Danny. Danny, that moustache is a blessing. Let's turn around, let the people see. Look what he's done. What an effort. We honor you for that, Danny. Lift your hands to God. Where are you from? What church?
Nations.
Lord God, let the touch of God come on his life. My God, in Jesus' name, an increase of the power of God. Now, in Jesus' name, take it, bro. Now, this young lady here, you're Tristan and Jade's daughter. Your mum puts photos of you all the time on the computer. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift them high to God. Father, touch. What's your name? Anna Lee. Father, touch Anna Lee. Pour your anointing out upon her right now. With the fire of the Holy Spirit. If you're hungry, he'll fill you. If you're hungry. This lady right here, I don't know, what would you call that color? Coral? In the coral. Come, Sister Coral. I don't know what color it is. Sister Rockmelon, just come. Lift your hands to Jesus. Hey. Woo, man. Can I tell you, just lift your hands right across the room. Let's be old school. Let's drink. God is saturating every pastor in here with new wine and fresh oil. Father, touch her. Father, touch her with the fire of God. Now, in Jesus' name, a new anointing. A new anointing of the power of God. This lady in the second row, just come. Just come. Can I pray for you, man? Just come. What's your name? Hello, Penelope. You're like the classiest lady. You're amazing. Lord, I just pray your touch on Sister Penelope. Oh, Jesus. A fresh wind of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Fresh wind. Jesus. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God right now. Filled in Jesus' name. Oh, what's your name? Hello, Bronwyn. Hello, Bronwyn. Lift your hands to God. Father, touch her. A new anointing. The old one's been good, but there's a new anointing, a fresh anointing. Right now, in Jesus' name, fill the Holy Ghost. Take that. In Jesus' name. If you're hungry, lift your hands to him. This gentleman right here in the second row, just come, sir. Is that your wife? Come, sister. Your hands to God. What's your name? Naomi and Ben. What's your last name? Ben McDonald and Naomi McDonald. Lift your hands. E-I-E-I. Father, touch him. I feel the fire of God in the house. Bless God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, give God a victory clap tonight, today. Come on, shout in the house. Let the shout of the King. Let the shout of the King. Let the shout of the King. This guy, right there. Yeah. Just come. Huh. Can I just have keys for 1 second? Just 1 second. We'll go back. But I'm going to pray for you. This might be a word for you. If it is, I got lucky. I wasn't. But I just feel like this pastor's here, and it's a beautiful time together. But there are pastors here, and you are really battling with disappointment because that stuff happens, you know. And I'm just believing that you'll hold your nerve and you'll stay in faith long enough, and God's going to turn some things around. But I'm going to pray for this guy. But we're going to believe God for a turnaround in churches and an increase of the power of God, an increase. It's just here's the thing, the devil will push it and get you to the edge where you go, I can't do this anymore. But you know what? When you get to the end of yourself, that's when you can say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have. And when you get to the end of your deficiency, you can step into his sufficiency and begin to walk in the anointing and the power of God in a greater measure. And we're going to pray for that in a minute. So, but like, turn your frown upside down today, because you're leaving with breakthrough. You're going to go home with a fresh anointing, with a fresh fire from heaven. Brother, where are you from, brother? Great Life Church. Where's Great Life Church? Where? Yanjibar. Ganjibup. Yeah. I feel like he's making up words as we're talking to him. Where are you from? Jibloomblickly. It's near Blalurfafet. Lift your hands to God. Great Life Church. Let a fresh wind hit that place in the name of Jesus. Touch this man of God now. Fire from heaven in the name of Jesus. Right across the house. If you'd say, Dave, you're talking to me. I've hit a few tough times. Maybe you got division in your church. Like, sometimes we wrestle with these things. We don't talk about them heaps. But we've all been there. They reckon an average person has 8 meaningful relationships get damaged in a lifetime. They reckon a pastor has 42 a year. And so we're on the front lines with our emotions, with our heart. We give our hearts to people. We open our homes to people. And it can just be off they go. And, you know, it can be somebody rises up within a church and wants authority because they don't have the gift to get it on their own. So they attach themselves to you and then pull things to themselves. Maybe you're wrestling with, you know, just stuff. Whatever it may be, maybe you're in a region and, you know, enough families is a tipping point where they move into a bigger city or go to university and it feels like you're starting all over again. And you might be here and you're genuinely in yourself going, I just don't know how it can recover. I can tell you, I've been in those days in our church. I was saying to the last group I spoke to this afternoon, I call that Monday. You know, we have days where you just go, take 10 steps forward and 11 back, and I just feel like I'm talking to a few people in here. You're going good, but you're discouraged, and I want you to leave encouraged. I feel like get that spirit of faith back on the inside of you, and that's why we get together at these AOG meetings, as I like them to be known, at the ACC conference. Why do we get together at these things? Because we want you to get refreshed. But this anointing, firstly, I love enjoying the presence of God. That's actually okay. We got told it wasn't for a while, that the touch had to be for the task. What if the touch is purely for you to delight in God and enjoy his presence? That's actually okay. I'm a father. I like spending time with my son and blessing my son, embracing my son. I don't need him to do something because I've loved him and poured out my blessing on him. I just want to do that. God wants to touch us and fill us up and be refreshed. And it's okay. It doesn't mean we should just take dunamis and do nothing with the dunamis, but you can enjoy the presence of the Lord. But here today, I also believe that presence of God is a sustaining touch that'll keep you going. Recharge your batteries and send you home. If you're an iPhone here, you might be on like 10%. I'm believing God, you'll be back in green again, you know, and go home full. If you're a Samsung, I don't even know how to illustrate that. But if you'd say, Dave, that's me, I'm discouraged. And you know what, in these meetings, it's easy to be a bit like, I don't want to admit it, and because, you know, I want the people down the road to think I'm awesome. And I've learned that the people down the road are just working their darndest to keep their thing going. And we should cheer each other on, by the way. You know, a salvation in your neighbor's church is as good as a salvation at yours, isn't it? It's plundering hell to populate heaven. But I wonder if you're here and you've been in a season of discouragement, you need a touch from God. Would you raise your hands to heaven? If that's you. It's been tough. Good on you. I'm so proud of you. I don't want to embarrass those that lifted their hand, but can I just call you forward? Is that okay? I'd love to lay hands on you. Just send you home blessed under a fresh anointing. Just before you come, or as you come. Who here, you're a pastor and you need a financial breakthrough in your church? Like, maybe tithes have just been challenging, giving's been challenging, and it's been tough, and you need an El Shaddai provision. Give me a wave if that's you, right across the house. Man, all you rich mining churches, there's only three of you that need a breakthrough. I've got my arms, my legs, my feet, my eyelashes, they're all lifted to heaven. But Father, I pray, be provision, buildings in the name of Jesus, open doors, supernatural by your hand. Can I just get you at the front to put your hands down for a moment? Are there any of you here at the front, just if you could look at me, that you have been in a wrestle where there's been stuff of division in your church and it's been a fight? Give me a wave if that's you. I'm just going to believe, God, that breaks today. I'm just going to believe, God, that turns today in the name of Jesus. Lord, can we stretch our hands towards you? Maybe if some of the executive members could come and lay hands on some of these guys and we'll pray. Lift your hands, my friend. God's hand. Put your hand upon it. That's it. Take it, sister. There's the anointing of God. One, two, three. Now, by the Spirit of God. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. That's it. Take it. We got you. In the name of Jesus. Woo. Jesus' name. Father, your touch. Where's your church? Where's your church? Glorious. Are you guys together? Yeah. What's your name?
Esther.
Esther who?
Esther
Barrett and Esther. No, don't be sorry. You South African? No, it's just very sorry. Not close. Not close at all. Where are you pastoring? Oh, awesome. Father, bless them. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your mighty hand. Bless this Kiwi. Bless the Kiwi and a half. Touch it. That's the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Father, pour out your anointing upon her today. There's a power of God right there. Fill. Father, touch it. Fresh oil from heaven. Power. It's God on you. God's coming on you. That's God's power. That's God's power. That's God's power. In Jesus' name. Jordan, I just want to speak over you, and you're like a younger brother, but there's not a person that I know that doesn't speak of you as being a man of total integrity and having a great spirit. You got all of those things, and I know everyone's prophesied this is to everybody, but I I really do believe that you know, coming into the leadership of the church, that it is for such a time as this, that God's hand's upon you. And I really do believe that what's on you isn't just for Global Heart, but you've got something for our nation that God wants to raise you up. And I just feel like God's even saying to you, dream bigger, believe bigger, lift up your eyes, because God wants to do a work in you. You've got an incredible heritage, but you're a different gift. And I'm believing that God wants to raise you up to have an incredible impact, not just here in Perth, but right across our nation for the glory of God. I feel like God wants to raise up your voice to be heard, a voice that will speak to things. And you're gonna have words in season that are going to end chaos. You're going to have words that are going to end problems. People are going to bring majorly complicated situations to you, and with ease you'll be able to speak the word of God and see things change. And you're not just going to be a pastor of a church, but you are going to be a pastor of pastors. And God's raised you up. And Father, I pray for him and Bianca and for the kids. Lord, I just pray a fresh anointing and the mighty hand of God would be upon him. Lord God, I just pray your blessing. Lord, I see increase in the church. I see a whole fresh wave of souls and miracles and breakthroughs. Lord God, they haven't even begun. You know, your church, Jordan, your dad's ministry and your mum's ministry, everything there, it actually lifted the lid of what could be done in WA. It's a significant church that God's raised up. And a lot of people have looked to Global Heart. And I really do feel like the eyes are going to be on you in this season as one of the key guys in our nation, called by God, anointed by God, with a mighty hand upon you. In the name of Jesus, because you're like a Barnabas, you're a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, and God's going to raise you up in a mighty way. I know you're very loved here, but God's going to lift your voice and make it louder in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I just see increase coming to these churches in WA. Lord, a fresh revival. Everyone's talking about a quiet one. We're still going to have a noisy one, I reckon. I'm believing we're just getting going in the name of Jesus. That's the end of my session. I'm on again. The matinee's next. But why don't we give the Lord a shout of praise in the room? He's worthy. Come on, somebody just shout hallelujah. Shout thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voices and praise God. You know, I'll stop. You know what I've noticed? I've been watching my church. I tell them, give the Lord a shout of praise. They clap a bit harder and they pull a face like they're shouting, but people still don't shout. But I don't think we should ever give up being too loose to praise God and shout. Let's give Jesus a victory shout today. Come on, shout over your city. Shout over the nation. Jesus is alive.